All week, I have been pumped to talk about this, and we're going into a series called Back on Track. It's basically where it's in a spiritual way of saying this right here, enough is enough. You know what I mean? That's what I mean by that. And so I want to just say good morning to all of you. I'm so glad that you're here. Gail, we love you. I'm so glad. We took her to Bubba's, and we just tore food up. It was awesome on Friday night, so we had a great time. Guys, listen, here's some thoughts about Back on Track, because here's the truth. Things are constantly changing, and it has affected us all. We know that this is a truth, that being isolated is not God's plan for his people. We know that for a lot of people, they have come out of 2020, and for some reason, fear has followed them out of that year. But I want to give you this, that we are still called by God, and that he is still speaking to his people. And it's time to get back on track. It's time to engage with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And how do we do this? By prioritizing our time with Christ. Guys, listen, we got to get back to his word, to worship, to loving and serving people, reigniting your prayer life, to do whatever it takes to get moving forward. Everybody say moving forward. That's where we're going, to get back on track and to be active in growing God's kingdom. It doesn't take much to get off track. Come on, give me an amen on that. So guys, I don't know if you remember this right here, but back in 1994, they released this contraption called the Ab Roller. Now, my son, when he was one, he bit off the top a little bit right there. Those are some bite marks. But guys, I was in a softball league in Northern California. And we were first at bat, and so we did our batting and whatever. And well, it was our time to take the field. And I go to run out into left field, and I get past third base, and all of a sudden I go, did I just feel my stomach bounce? Guys, I'm not kidding. I never felt like anything around my stomach bounce. And I continued to run out there, and I said, yeah, my stomach's bouncing. And so I was messed up. I couldn't hardly concentrate in the game and all that. And I went home. I was depressed about it. And I'm sitting there watching TV late at night, and here comes an infomercial for Ab Roller. Guys, I got on the phone, and I ordered that thing at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, here's the truth. That by itself is not going to make your stomach go away. How many of us understand that it's going to take, you got to eat right, you got to take care of yourself, you got to have some sleep, you got to drink your water. You can do a little bit of that, but you got to do a lot of other things to see your ab go down. Is everybody with me on this? Traveling. Here's another thing. Traveling to a specific destination. This is a little geometry. Let's just go back to class a little bit here. If you're off by a single degree, you haven't even lifted your foot, and you're already 0.2 inches off, you're off course. You go a mile, and you're off by 92 feet. If you went out to the beach and decided to go around the world in a straight line back to Chesapeake, by a single degree, you're going to either be north or south, 400, guys, check this out, and 35 miles off course. That means that you're going to be down in Charleston, South Carolina, or you're going to be up in New Haven, Connecticut. If the Lord tarries, and we're living in Star Trek times, you can take your family on a weekend trip to the sun. You're off by a single degree. You're going to miss the sun by 1.6 million miles. My heart is that through this series, we will be able to confront any distractions, addictions, excuses, plans of the enemy, things that might derail us and get us off track, and maybe go through some questions of how are we missing God? What can we do to get back on track? And my heart for this series is also about seeing people come to Jesus for the first time, renewals, rededication, that we would remember who we are in Christ and that his calling is still strong on our lives, helping us recognize that something might be off. Remember when I talked about you just lift your foot and you're going to go off? That's the thing, is sometimes we don't even notice that we're off track. But the Holy Spirit sees it. I want to move forward from 2020, believing that God has anointed us to do great things in his name, breaking chains of addiction and depression and hurt and loneliness. I really do believe this morning that God has a word for Harvest Assembly. Let's get into it. 1 Samuel 16 is the story of Samuel going to, God is sending him to the home of Jesse, and he's going to go there and find the future king of Israel. And here we are at verse 10. It says, and Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. Now I want to be scripturally sound here. I want to make sure we're all following each other. This part right here where it says, now he was ruddy, beautiful, and handsome, it's not talking about Charger.
Amen.
All right? I want to be scripturally accurate. We are talking about King David here, okay? He is a good-looking guy, but he's not in Scripture. All right, man. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And today's message is entitled, From That Day Forward. After what we have read in the story, this is what we know happened to David. Okay, so pretty much after that anointing took place, that he becomes Saul's worship leader. We know that he becomes his armor bearer. We know that he destroys Goliath in the Elah Valley. He finds a soul brother in Jonathan, which was a beautiful story in the word itself. And we know that David is soon proclaimed champion, even while Saul is still in power. In 1 Samuel 18:7, it says, and the women sang to one another as they celebrated, Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And that's when instantly, everybody say instantly, everything changed. The next verse in Samuel 18:8, it says, and Saul was very angry. Other translations that Saul became very angry. And guys, listen, here's the thing is not too long after the portion of that scripture, this is where we start seeing it happening. Saul puts him out on the front line, hoping he gets killed. Tries to set him up with two of his daughters that he's hoping will just tear him down. And then next thing we know, David is out there running for his life. He's on the run. And we might feel this way. We might say, well, this is not how it's supposed to be. Things are not looking the same, that there's all these new rules and regulations being handed down from our government weekly. Things are constantly changing. I feel like I've been lost and forgotten, that this is not supposed to still be going on. You see, David's life is derailing. In the eyes of the world, they're the man, you know, man looking on, they're seeing his life dismantling. And I know for a fact that there are those here today that feel the same way. And I want to speak, just listen to this right here. We're tired of restrictions. We're tired of masks. We're frustrated by all the hurt and all the sickness. We are a nation completely split by politics. You might feel like that my home, Pastor Matt, is being turned upside down. My marriage is taking a hit. I'm addicted. I'm depressed. I'm concerned for my kids, and I really believe that God's word today is going to give us some very important reminders, and I want to get right into it. Okay, so here it is. Reminders to encourage us to get back on track, and the first thought is this. You still have a calling on your life. 1 Samuel 16:11, let's go back to it. It says, then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep. Now, here it is, guys, listen to this. Jesse's not even considering him. In fact, he's trying to dissuade Samuel from even sending for him because he's just the guy, little guy watching the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Samuel has received a message from God. Samuel delivers that message to Jesse. Jesse presents his sons, but yet he has no idea who God is looking for. The Lord chose none of those seven sons that passed, and Jesse reveals another son and gives that reason for Samuel to overlook him. But when God declares a calling on your life, the enemy cannot change what God is about to do. Come on, give me an amen on that. It doesn't matter the opinions of others. What they might have of you. Family and friends might not agree with that calling that God has put on your life. Not everybody is going to understand the calling or the message that God has put into your heart. Think about Moses for a second. We just talked about him in a sermon a couple weeks ago. Remember, he goes to the bush. There's a fire going on in it. He's been doing the same thing for 40 plus years, not looking to change anything. But God sees change. He knows that there's a calling on his life, so he calls him. He tells him, you're going to deliver my people out of Israel. Gives him the message, tells him who sent him, you know, what to do, and he goes to the people. And guys, check this out. He takes the message to the Hebrews, and it is well received. Y'all follow me? Y'all stand with me on this, okay? Well, check this out. Moses brings the same message. Remember, it's the same message. God-given. It is God's plan. Israelites are encouraged and ready to move. But Pharaoh completely rejects the message of God. It's the same message. God hadn't changed. His word hadn't changed. Pharaoh's response could have easily derailed Moses and his destiny. God had spoken, and Moses knew he was called to do this. You might even have doubts of your own. Guys, we were in Israel back in, like, I think it was 2005, and we got to meet the owner and the chief editor for the Jerusalem Post. And we started talking to him about just stuff that was going on. Well, he found out that my wife's father was on Dr. Youngi Cho's board for years. And he was like, I would love to go to Korea. I would love to restore our relationship between us and Korea. Because there was, I guess, some things that happened. And Dr. Cho wouldn't take his people back. He was like, I can pray for Israel instead of just going there. You know, it was like, that's how it had gotten. He wanted to restore it. He wanted to plan this trip with me and my cousin, whatever. So we thought, well, let's do it. So we invested our own money, got on some planes, flew over to Israel. And we found out that as we were getting over there, he wanted to do a videoed kind of documentary with Dr. Youngi Cho and see the relationships healed and all this kind of. And so I had a camera. Guys, listen, it was about a $3,700 camera, not anything to kind of like, you know, make a face at or anything. But I knew, like, all of a sudden, this is bigger. You know, God is putting this call on our heart to do this. And I just felt like it should be bigger. Well, the whole time I'm there, I'm just facing obstacles. And I'm starting to doubt myself. I'm starting to think, well, Lord, did you really set this up, or was this something we just got excited about and wanted to do it? And the day's getting closer and closer. I'm making phone calls. I can't get anybody to help me with some cameras and all this other kind. In fact, the girl that picked us up on the van and talked to us all the way to our hotel, all of a sudden now can't speak English. I'm not kidding. It was like that. And so I'm laying on my bed. I'm doubting myself. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll film it with my camera. This is not going to come out the way that we were hoping. And all of a sudden, I'm laying there in the atmosphere. Guys, listen to me. Began to change in there. Let me tell you what happened was. I'm laying there, and I go, I know Miss Lee. Miss Lee was like, if there's like, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but if there's a Trinity in Youngi Cho's church, she was like his right hand. I mean, it was like, and I got up off my bed. She had been bringing us fruit, taking us to dinner, giving us our daily hugs. She was like our mom in Korea. She's taking care of us. I get Miss Lee on the phone. I go, Miss Lee, I go, could you please help me? I've been calling all your people. They're not talking to me. They're not. And she goes, what do you need? And I told her, and she goes, give me 5 minutes. And I hung up the phone, and my cousins look at me, and I go, I think Miss Lee's mad. You know what I mean? And the next thing I know, I get a call back 5 minutes later, and she goes, Matt, you have been taken care of. They will be there. This is the time you need to be there, 2:00. Guys, I walk in there, and can you say, everybody say hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment are waiting for us in there. They even had the little train track where they could push the guy and do the little sweeping motion stuff. And they're greeting me and giving us waters and taking care of us. Miss Lee made it work. I knew the person who was in control. And here's what you have to remember is that when God speaks into your life, you know the one who is in control of your life and your destiny and your future. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says this, He who calls you is faithful, and he will. Amen? And he will surely do it. And this is my encouragement to you. When it comes to your calling, what people think, what people are saying, how people might feel about what you are hearing, the only thing that should matter to you is, what did God say? Remember, I told you that story where Lori walks in, and her professor said, oh, you know, you waited too long, you know, to get into this. You're too old and all this. And she's like doubting it. And I looked right at her. I said, babe, he didn't call you out to Virginia. God did. Is everybody with me on that? And so here it is. What is God saying to you? What has God spoken into your life? Just like the future King David, God knows where you are. He knows what you are capable of. He has sent for you. He has a specific calling for you. And no matter what a day or a year brings, good or bad, you have a calling on your life. You have a reason to praise his name. You have a reason to give him glory. You have a reason to be thankful. The world will always change, but our God remains the same. His love for you will never end. Remember what we talked about last week? It is limitless. No matter what 2021 is going to look like, we still have a calling on our lives. It is up to us to get up, to get moving, and to get back on track. Give me an amen. Here's the second thought. You are anointed to do all. Everybody say all. You are anointed to do all that he will ask. 1 Samuel 16, verse 12 says this, "And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers." There are about five different messages that I can think of right now that's just on that scripture. This is a powerful one. God will never ask you to do something without providing you the power and the ability to do it. You will be anointed and he will be with you. Acts 10:38 says it this way, that Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready, everybody say ready, ready for action. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. And he was able to do all this because God was with him. This is the Son of God that we're reading about, amen? And so God will send you. He will send for you, I'm sorry, and he will put a calling on your life, and he will anoint you to fulfill that calling. Right here is the song we just sang this morning, and right now, he is ready to set you up for this. 2021, ready for action. It's just time to get back on track, Harvest Assembly, amen? And we want to do this. Esther 4:4, what a beautiful story. What an amazing book, but I'm going to look at the one scripture that just kind of stands out to all of us most of the time, and it's this in 4:4. It says, "For if you remain," this is Mordecai talking to her, "silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family's family will perish, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Just look at the scripture and just kind of look at what I'm talking about here. Mordecai is basically telling her, you have been called for this time right here. And if you choose not to do it, somebody else is going to do this, but you're not going to see it because you're going to be gone. And so he's reminding her, look at where God has placed you for such a time as this, and it's time to get moving. Right here, right now. Right here, right now, God is going to anoint you for whatever he calls you to right here and right now and this morning. People will know and they will see that you have been anointed by God and that you have been empowered to fulfill your life's calling. People will see favor. They're going to see blessing in your life. You won't need to go outside and tell people that you're anointed. You're not going to have to pat your back and make a big scene. They're just going to know something has changed in your life and they're going to want it. And remember, it is God who called you. And it is God who has anointed you to do all, and say it again, all that he might ask you to do. And here's the third thought, that you have his spirit and it is time to get back on track. It's time to get back on the calling that God is leading us to. And just a heads up, when you decide to answer God's calling, when you decide to move with God's anointing on your life, you will be met with resistance. Look at this in 1 Samuel 16:13. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward." As soon as the anointing hit him, the Spirit of the Lord just rushed upon him from that day forward. So guys, think about this. We already talked about this. Did King David make some mistakes in his ruling? Absolutely. But this is what the scripture says. It says that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him from that day forward, even through his mistakes. It can be the smallest of things that if we allow us to get us off track, they will. We were youth pastors down in San Diego. I've shared a little bit of the story before, and we lived right behind the church. I mean, our gate was backed right up to it, and we could walk out the back of our house and be at church. If I woke up late, it was awesome because I could still get there. And we had a big old half pipe back there. We added 4 feet at the bottom so I could have extra just to go up and down. I mean, it was an amazing backyard. And our back patio was about a 15 by 20 that was covered by this fiberglass awning that was kind of see-through green or blue. And we had all the weights out there, the bench and everything. And me and the choir director, and he was the college and career pastor, we'd work out. And we got really heavy into bench pressing. Now, fellas, ladies, if you like to bench press, for the guys, you want to hit 135 when you're a little dude. You want to be able to say that you put the two big 45-pound plates on there and that you benched 135. Then you want to be able to do 135 in three sets of 10. And then you're moving up to 185, which is the 45 and the 25-pound plate. Then you go up to 205. You break through the 200 ceiling, 205. That's 45 pounds with the 35-pound plates. Well, I'd gotten up, and me and Randy were training really hard. He was kind of way up there. He was more up in the high twos, almost 300s. And I just wanted to break that 225, the 245-pound plates. So on Tuesday, I benched 220 with no problem. He says, let's wait until Thursday. You'll be ready, and we'll hit this thing again. So I'm ready. I'm excited. I get up Thursday, and Randy calls me. He says, dude, I can't meet you. I can't work out today. I went, you know what? I can do this on my own. I'm going to bench this by myself. So I went out there. I didn't clip on the weights, you know, but I did my warm-ups. I put up 220 with no problem, and I was ready. I called my brother. I had two friends that were living with my mom and dad with him, and they all got on the phone. It was the cordless phone. You pulled out the antenna, you know, and you put it on speakerphone, and they're cheering me on. They're getting me pumped up. I lay down on the bench. I take it off. It feels light. I go down and bounce. Go down to my chest to bounce up. And if you know bench, when it stops about right here, you're stuck. And I'm stuck, and they can hear me grunting on the phone, and they're telling, you get that person, ah! You know, they're yelling at me, and I'm trying to, and all of a sudden I realize it just comes down on my chest, and I remember I didn't clip on the weights, so I didn't want to dump them because I was afraid I was going to tear a joint or something like that, and the only way to get it off, I was going to have to roll it down my chest. So I'm taking 225 down my chest. Now, guys, I'm not a hairy dude, you know, ladies, I don't have a lot of hair on my body, but I was 25 or whatever, I had a nice little crop going on right here, and I remember my grandpa, he'd say, Matt, you know, Matthew, you got to eat your green beans. I go, why, grandpa? He said, because it puts some hair on your chest, you know. Well, so I'm sitting there, and I'm rolling this thing down. Well, I don't know if you know this, but as you roll a bar like that heavy, it grabs the shirt, and it just started pulling. Any and whatever I had on my chest came out. I remember I got it off. I dumped the weights off from my hip. And I stood up. I pulled my shirt up. And I mean, I was waxed. Red, purple. I mean, I was just, and I'm sitting there and I'm mad. And I go over and I can hear my buddies laughing on the phone. And I just turned the phone off. Guys, I was done. I didn't want to work out. I wanted the bench off my patio. I was throwing a fit. And so I'm sitting here. Randy comes the next, like a couple days later. He goes, man, we got to get back to this. I said, no, I'm not doing it. In fact, I took like about 2 weeks off. Guys, you can work out for a whole year. Now, listen to me. This has got some spiritual stuff on this. You can work out solid for a whole year, and you take 2 weeks or 3 weeks off. You might still look good, but you've lost everything that you've done for that year. And so in the spiritual sense, you guys, listen to this. Here, let me show you what that was. 220 to 225, it was two and a half pound plates on each side. That's all it was. And you start thinking about what is it that can be the small things that can just get us off track and make us want to give up. It was 5 pounds that was keeping me from completing my journey. Well, Randy finally got me on that bench. He got me retrained, and I busted through 225. Big deal, right? But I loved it. But guys, here it is. What is it that's keeping you from getting back on track this year? Is it family hurt? Is it church hurt? Is it the fear of moving forward? Is it the fear of not being equipped? Is it the fear of what will people think? Or what is my family going to say? Is it something we are not willing to release? Is it the coronavirus still? Is it a political reason? I want you to know that all of these reasons fall short in comparison to the reasons supporting getting back on track with God and His purposes for your lives. Galatians 5:25 says it this way, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love the idea of keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. I love the idea of walking it through with Him and staying at His pace. Because we just never know how God is going to use us and how much we will need His Spirit to do so. Now I'm up in Northern California. I'm an associate pastor. Lori comes up after church and says, we're taking this family to lunch. I go, who is it? And she told me, and I didn't recognize who it was, and we're going to Black Angus. Y'all remember Black Angus? Did they have Black Angus out here? Steak shop? Steak shop. I mean, a restaurant? Okay, never mind. So I go there, and we walk in, and I see this couple sitting there, and immediately I go, oh, my goodness, this is they're brand new to the church. And, I mean, he is an ex-gangbanging, drug-addicted, his wife. You know, I knew exactly what we were sitting into. And we sit down, and we sit at the table, and she is high on meth. She's slurring her words. He is high on weed. And he's not looking anywhere else in the restaurant except straight across the table at me, and he looks like he wants to kill me. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, Lori, what did you get us into? You know, I'm sitting there, and we're trying to talk to him, and her words, we can't understand a word that she's saying. And so this is what I did, you guys. I bowed my head down, like, you know, not praying to where, I just looked down for a second, and I said, God, I need your Holy Spirit to come and sit at this table. I need you here. And guys, listen, as soon as I prayed that, listen, the atmosphere changed immediately. And here we are sitting there, and all of a sudden her words are clearing up. All of a sudden his eyes, I'm starting to see the white of his eyes. I'm starting to see a smile on his face. We're talking. All of a sudden now she is crystal clear. We're just talking to her and talking. There, she's crying. He's got tears coming down to his eyes. Lori and I are over there, and we got tears in our eyes. God came into that place, and the atmosphere had to change. If we're not on track with God, if we're not keeping in step with his Holy Spirit, listen, guys, listen to this. It was that the same Spirit that rushed upon David, the same Spirit that we know was in the upper room, it was the same Spirit that came and sat at the table with us in Black Angus. If we are not on track with God and the calling on our lives that he has anointed us to do, we will miss our God appointments that he gives to us daily, every day. Harvest Assembly, are you ready for what God is about to do? Choose to live your life daily in his presence. Do not go another day without the leading of his Holy Spirit. In fact, I said this before, don't take another step this year without the leading of his Holy Spirit through 2021. Well, worship team, if you want to come on up, I'm going to wrap this up. Guys, one moment. The future King David is out there just watching sheep. We know in the next moment he's being sent for because God has a calling on his life. Then we know that Samuel brings David in front of his brothers and father for all to see. Remember this, God does this. We don't have to do it ourselves. When we get anointed by him, all will see it. They're going to see this. So here we are in 1 Samuel 16:13, and it says that he gets anointed, and it says that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. That's the English Standard Version. If you look at it in the King James and some of the others, it'll say that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. If you look at that word in the Hebrew, salek means this, to rush or to prosper or to push forward. So you know that as the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, as he's anointed, he's already been prospered. The Lord has rushed upon him. He's moving him forward into his destiny. And I looked into the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon. And look at what it said about the word of this word here. It says, it describes it as to go over or through as a river. What did we sing about today? What are some of the words, the prophetic words that has been given to Harvest Assembly about rivers running through here and rivers around, the water rising, letting his rain fall? Like a breakthrough of water, the possessor of breaches. Water like bursting through a pipe. And then it goes on to describe it this way. To attack. To fall upon. Used to describe the Spirit of Jehovah falling upon a man. The enemy does not want to see you. He does not want to see this body or God's people to move forward. The devil wants to bury you in confusion. He wants to bury your calling in 2020. He doesn't even want you to look back at it in isolation, in feelings of abandonment, that you are forgotten, not needed, not wanted, and have no purpose. Let me stick with this burying thing. I'm telling you right now, guys, that the devil would love to just see whatever God had for us buried in a year that we've been waiting to get out of, that we would not try to move out of that, not move forward, or to come back to life. But God is rising up his church. We are at a precipice, and I'm telling you, that when the COVID virus goes away and all these other things go away and people are all of a sudden they're going to come out of their house, and you know what they're going to be looking for? Love. People. Being in the house of God, people that have never thought about going to God before are going to come into churches. And Harvest, we need to be ready when they come in so that we can receive them and love them in the name of Jesus. This is what we should be praying. Let your spirit rush upon me and attack anything that might cause me to miss you, God. Or pray this, that let the spirit of Jehovah fall upon me and change the atmosphere and circumstances in my life. And let your spirit be with me from that day forward. From this time forward, right here, right now, that as I lift my voice to you, that you would rush upon me, that you would fall upon me, and from this day forward, you would stay with me. I just want to remind you just the thoughts today that you still have a calling on your life. That you are anointed to do all that God is going to ask you to do. And that you have his spirit from this time forward. Harvest Assembly, I just say this. It is time to get back on track. In the name of Jesus, it's time. It's time to start moving forward. So let's just bow our heads. Worship team's going to lead us in song here in just a second. And I just want to do this.